Mishnah Yomis for Sunday, the fourth day of Tishrei, Tavshin Pei Hei. Masechta Bava Metzia, Perek Dalad, Mishnah Tes. Eilu Dvarim She'ein Lahem Einah. The following things are not subject to the normal law of cheating or overpricing or underpricing, where the seller or the buyer, neither of them, can claim for being undercharged or overcharged respectively, even when it's more than a sixth of the normal market price. Avodim, selling slaves, vahashtoros, and selling IOU notes or documents, loan documents, vahar karkois, or land, real estate, vahakdashis, or things belonging to hakdash. And the reason is because when it talks about not cheating and not overcharging one's friend, one's brother, it says, oikonoi miyada misecha, or you buy something from your friend. And from here we learn it applies only to chattels which can be bought, handed over, excluding land, which are not chattels, which cannot be just moved over, handed over. It excludes avodim, who are compared to land, to real estate. It excludes shtoros, a loan document, which is only a proof to money. It's not gufoi momen. It's only a proof to a debt. It excludes hekdesh, things that belong to hekdesh, because it says altona ishes ochiv. One should not cheat one's brother. A brother means hedyad, means ordinary people that own it, not if it's something owned by hekdesh. Ein lahen tashlumei kefil. Furthermore, these four categories, slaves, shtoros, karka, and hekdesh, are not subject to the law of kefil. If they were stolen, then one doesn't pay kefil, but doesn't pay an extra amount, and one doesn't pay double. And this is because when it talks about paying double, it mentions the words al kol dvar pesha, and any matter of crime, whether it's a shoyer, a chamoyer, or a donkey, or an ox, or clothing, anything, and then it says al kol aveda, on any lost article, in any matter, which a person will say, which the courts will find guilty, they shall pay double. Now, we have a rule. When there's a klal, a general rule, a general statement made, al kol dvar pesha, and then followed by details, the ox, the donkey, etc., and then afterwards it mentions a klal again, we learn that the Torah wants to include only things that are similar to the detail. The detail are, they are something which is metaltel, something that can be moved, and something that is actually money. That excludes karka, land, as we said before. It excludes avodim, who are compared to land. It excludes shtoros, a proof to debt, which is not in gufon momen, it doesn't have money in its own value. And it excludes hekdesh because it says you shall pay twice, double, lere'ehu, to his friend, which excludes hekdesh. Veloi tashlumei arba v'chamisha. And these four categories are also excluded from the payment of paying four or five. Normally there's aloch if one steals someone's ox and then sells it or slaughters it. You pay not only the ox amount, but four times the value of it. Four times the value of the ox. Five times the value of ox. And if it's a sheep, pay four times the value. This halacha, however, paying four and five, includes of course, the keren, includes the kefil. The halacha is that wherever there's no kefil, wherever the item is excluded from kefil, then it's automatically excluded from the four or five as well. And the reason is because when the Torah says you pay four and five, it means only four or five, not three or four. So therefore, if the person is now not free from paying kefil, that would leave, instead of paying four or five, he'd be paying three and four. That doesn't happen. So once kefil is out, immediately there's no dalad vahay, as we call it. There's no four or five. So there would only be karen to pay, just the principal. Shomer chinom einoi nishba. A further exemption from these in regards to these four categories. And that is that a person who's guarding these things and is unpaid, and then something happens to it, it gets lost, or land was given to him to mind and it got ruined, he does not have to swear that he was not negligent in the Shmirah. Normally one has to swear, or even a Shemachinim has to swear, and then he gets out of payment. But a Shemachinim does not have to pay if he's in charge of any of these, if he's been given charge of any of these four. Once again, the Gemara learns it from a Pasuk that says, Ki yitein ish l'ra'eyah, when a man will give to his friend kesef or kelim, money or equipment or vessels to guard, and then it says, vessels or kelim, and then it says, lishmoyer, to guard. We have a klal, we have a prat, the detail, followed by the klal, by the rule. So therefore, everything has to be similar to the detail, which means it has to be, therefore, something which is movable and represents money, gufamaman, and it excludes hektish because it says ish el ra'eyo, when a man sells it or gives it to mine, to his friend. That's not hektish. Hektish is not one's friend. Another exemption. V'noisei socher einoi mashalim. If a person was given charge of any of these categories, these four categories, and he's being paid for that, then he doesn't have to pay as he normally would. A shomer socher, a paid guardian, has to pay if it's stolen or if it's been lost. That's normally the case, that a shomer socher would have to pay for it if there's ganeven abeda. But again, we have this klal of pratuchlal, and the details are chamoir, oshoir, oiseh. It says it details the donkey or the ox or the sheep or any animal to mind. We have again a klal, pratuchlal, and once again we apply the principle of only including things that are similar to the detail mentioned. So therefore, real estate is excluded. It's not something that's movable, and so the avodim are also excluded because they're compared to the real estate, and also a shtar, a loan document. This is only a proof to money. It's not money itself, and hektish is excluded because it says el ra'eyo, to his friend. Now, we say that Shemachinam is excluded from swearing, and we say Shemasocha is excluded from paying. So what actually happens? What is the halacha if any of these four categories were involved? Some of Farshim learn that the Shemachinam does not swear. He just simply says, I was not Peshaya, I was not negligent, and he's believed with that statement. He doesn't have to swear. Shemasocha, a paid guardian, would be exempt in these cases from Gneva Naveda, and he's believed to say again that it did not happen from his negligence. And that's really what the Mishnah is telling us according to these Mefarshim. That's how the Rambam learns. Other Mefarshim learn that even if there was negligence, they'd be exempt from paying. And when the Mishnah says a Shemachinam doesn't swear, it only mentions it because in the Pasuk it mentions, it doesn't mention payment for a Shemachinam, it just mentions about Shavua. But in fact, even if they were negligent, they're part of paying. This is the opinion of Ramban, Rashba, Ravid. Many Rishonim learn this way in the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon says, it depends. He disagrees with the concept that all kodshim, all hektish, one is, it does not apply. He said it depends. There are certain kodshim shehu chayev b'chirusan, that a person would be chayev to replace them if they got stolen or if they got lost or they died. And in those things, that would be a case, for example, when a person said, hare olai korban, I take upon myself to bring a korban. Now, if something goes wrong with this animal, if it gets stolen or gets lost or damaged, he has to replace it. And for that reason, he has an interest in it. He's got a there is a certain amount of ownership over it, namely the fact that this animal here now is something that if something happens to it, he'll have to replace it. So to him, it's worth it becomes like his. It's not just kodshim then. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon says the law, yesh l'nono, the law of overcharging, will apply to them. So what would happen is, let's say he had an animal. He said, areolai korban. He put aside an animal, and then that animal got a blemish, and then he sold it. And he sold it to someone, but it was overpriced or heavily underpriced. And it's over the sixth or under the sixth. Then the laws of Enoah will apply. And the reason is because since the owners of the of this animal are chayiv to replace it, it becomes like their property. And according to Rabbi Shimon, that is part of Tona Ishesachiv, that will come under Al Tona Ishesachiv, do not overcharge one's brother. It would be called like overcharging one's brother. However, Rabbi Shimon says, in a situation where the person never said, I take upon myself, Hari Olai Korban, he didn't put the obligation upon himself, he just put aside an animal, and he said, I want this animal to be a Korban, then clearly, there's no din of cheating, there's no din of claiming for undercharge or overcharge, because this is clearly Kodshim, which he's not considered his Nechosim, because if anything happens to it, he's not obligated to replace it. The halacha, however, is not like Rabbi Shimon. The halacha is that for all kodshim, there's no din oinah. No, one cannot. There's no din of claiming for undercharge or overcharging, etc. Rabbi Huda Omer, Rabbi Huda says, "Af hamoicher sefer Torah behema umargolis ein lehem oinah." He says that also if one sells a sefer Torah, or an animal, or jewels, there is no din oinah. There's no din of claiming for under or overcharging. What's the reason for this? The Gemara explains in a braisa, Sefer Torah, because there's no limit. There's no limit to its value. So no one can ever say, oh, you overcharged me, you're undercharged me, because who knows what the value of a Sefer Torah is. Priceless. What about an animal and a margolis, an animal and jewels? Why is that? And the reason for that is, for an animal, is because sometimes a person needs to join an animal. He needs another ox to join the ox that he has. And he has to get one that is exactly or very similar to it in terms of build and structure and health. Because if he has a weaker animal, for example, it can actually damage the animal that he has. So therefore, people are prepared to pay a lot more for an animal than even it's worth. So therefore, that's something that you can't claim for overcharging or undercharging. The same thing with the jewel. When he wants a jewel and he wants to pair it up with another piece of jewelry, the market price could be a certain amount, but the person could be prepared to pay a lot more than that because of the need for that particular jewel. And therefore, he says that these three items are not subject to the normal laws of cheating or overcharging. However, the Chacham did not agree with that. Omru loy, they said back to Rabbi Huda, loy omru ela es elo. When the Chachamim said that there were categories that were exempt, they only meant these and only these. Avodim, shtores, kakoes, and ektashes. Slaves, a bill, a loan document or bill, IOU documents, land, real estate, and hektash. They're the only ones that there's no hanah applicable to. But other things, yes, there is a din of hanah, and the halacha is indeed like the chachamim. Mishnah Yud. Kishem she'einah b'makach memkar. Just like there is a din of cheating when it comes to buying and selling, kach, similarly, there is a din of oinah b'dvarim. There's a din of, we don't call it cheating, we call it hurting, offending with words. The same word in Hebrew can be used for cheating or for offending. As it says in the Torah, Lo soinu ish es amisoi v'yeresu malkecha, you shall not hurt your friend, offend your friend, and you shall fear Hashem, you shall fear your God. The Chachamim explained that this pasuk refers to hurting with words. And no one really knows who's the intention, except for Hashem. And that's why it says, yeresu malkecha. Be careful. Hashem knows whether you really meant to make him upset, meant to offend someone, or you meant it for his good. Lo yomar loy, a person's not allowed to say to his friend, bechamo, or ask his friend, bechamo chevetzeh, how much is this thing, what's the price of this thing? And he has no intention to buy it whatsoever. That's called einah. Why? It's hurting his friend, because the friend thinks that he's got an interested customer here, whereas in fact he has no intention to buy it whatsoever. Another example of hurting or offending, imhoya bal teshuva. If there was a person who had become frum, become keeping Torah mitzvahs, lo yomer lo, he's not allowed to tell him, ah, zechor masech hoshan, you should remember what you used to do. Remember what you used to do? It's osur. It's hurting the person's feelings. Imhu ben gerim, or if he converted, became Jewish, lo yomer lo, he's not allowed to tell him, ah, Zecher Maasev Zecher. Remember what your dad used to do, what your parents? This is also forbidden. Shanam, as it says, V'ger lo sena v'zor lo silchatzena. A ger, you shall not tease, or you shall not oppress, v'lo silchatzena, and do not hurt him. The darsha, the maid of drasha, he is saying, lo sena, do not hurt, efil banas dvarm, even with hurting with words. In fact, the Gemara brings down that hurting with words is worse than with money. Money is capable of returning. Le'eshoven, you can return it. But words can never be replaced. One is affecting his money, his assets, but one is affecting him himself, begufay. One, it says, Riyosa Malakecha, but the other one, it doesn't say, Yaresa Malakecha. And furthermore, the Gemara says, anyone who cries out because of being hurt by words, Anas Dvarim, he gets answered straight away. As it says, Ani Hashem, Kol Hashorim, all the gates are closed except for Shari Na, except for the gates of being hurt. Particularly, it applies to Ishtai, a person's wife.